I want to turn today in the New Testament to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. A week or two ago we considered the opening verses of this second letter of Peter. I want just to move on down the chapter a little. Particularly the verses 5 to 11 we're going to be focusing upon today, and so we will read those verses in particular today, 2 Peter 1 and the verses 5 to 11. And in 2 Peter 1 and the verse 5, we read this: "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. Once again, we want to seek the Lord together for a moment in prayer. And let me encourage you to pray, even in your own home, that God would speak to your heart through his word today. Heavenly Father, we rejoice today that there is a throne of grace that we can come to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And we thank thee there is that throne of grace for us to come to because of the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We thank thee that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. We rejoice that he is able, therefore, to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Lord, we ask today that thou will come, speak to your hearts through thy word. Thou dost know all the different circumstances and situations of each of our lives in the week that has passed, and now as we've come to thy day, and as we even look ahead and the week before us, we need thee. We need thee to speak to your hearts. And so we pray that as your people today, each one who is saved by grace will be built up in our faith. We will have a desire to progress and go on with thee. And any that may listen that are unsaved, may they come to obtain that like precious faith. May they step out on those exceedingly great and precious promises. May they call on thee for salvation. Remember again the bereaved, give them comfort. Remember the ill and those who care for them, draw near to them. Remember every spiritual need, every need of body and of mind. We rejoice onward in all sufficient God. Thou canst meet the need of each one. Hear and answer prayer. Give help now in the going forth of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read this second letter of Peter, as he writes to the people of God saved by his grace, you're left in no doubt that salvation of sinners, the salvation of sinners, is a gracious work of God and not something that we as sinners can earn or deserve. Peter addressed saved sinners in this letter as those that have obtained like precious faith with us. This faith is obtained, it's not earned by us. And we've obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. The perfect righteousness of Christ has earned and provided the faith to believe in him and the faith to receive the blessings of salvation. It is the divine power of Christ that gives to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He gives the exceeding precious promises, exceeding great and precious promises of verse 4, are given unto us that we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we might escape the corruption that is in the world through us. These things are given to us in grace. As Jonah declared, salvation is of the Lord. Paul affirmed, it is by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But why we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and it's not by our works, we are saved unto good works. And Peter, in this letter, does set before us the need to put effort into progressing and growing in grace once we've experienced God's saving grace. As Paul put the same matter in another place when he wrote to the Philippians, in Philippians 2 and 12, we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We don't work to earn it, but we work out what God works in. And Peter desires those to whom he writes this letter as believers to put in effort to progress in our walk with God and our work for God, our witness for him, that we might enjoy the assurance of salvation. And so in the verse 10 of 2 Peter 1, where we're thinking of the verses really 5 down to 11, but in the verse 10 he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And I want us today to consider the directions Peter gives to make our calling and election sure. First of all, we can consider the effort that is required. I've quoted verse 10 where Peter says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And in verse 5, he uses that word diligence again. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, or supply to your faith. And yes, as I've said, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But as Peter set before us at the very end of this letter, in chapter 3, verse 18, we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, in the verses 5 to 7, he says, add or supply to your faith. And he mentions seven graces. And he is exhorting us as God's people to put an effort into adding to our faith, or supplying to our faith, progressing in our walk with God. You know, in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, we're called upon to keep our hearts with all diligence, to guard our hearts, to be watchful over our hearts with all diligence. And Peter is saying, beside this, giving all diligence. He is saying in the verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And when he's talking about diligence here, he's meaning labor, endeavor, exert yourself. In chapter 1 and 15, he wrote, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Endeavor, diligence, it's the same thing. Give diligence. Endeavor, he's practicing what he preached with regard to his own ministry among them. In verse 12 of chapter 1, he would not be negligent to put God's people in remembrance of the things that he's setting before them. Rather, he would give diligence. In chapter 3 and the verse 14, again, he called them to exertion and to diligence. Chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blame. So Peter is setting before us the fact there is effort required for you and I who are saved to progress in our walk with God and our witness for God. Yes, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone, but as we seek to progress as believers, there's an effort required. There is diligence required. You know, the Apostle Paul, in his letters of the New Testament, he also called for this diligence, this effort to be shown in the pursuit of growing in grace and becoming more like the Savior. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 4 and 3, he wrote, endeavoring, that is, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and the verse 15, he gave the exhortation, study to show thyself approved unto God. Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. You know, on occasions, Paul used the word when desiring some of his fellow believers to come and see it. Give diligence. Child of God, the question therefore comes to me and to you today. What diligence are we showing that we might continue to progress in our walk with God and our work for him? Are we giving diligence to our prayer life? Are we giving diligence to the reading and study of the Word of God? Are we showing diligence and effort in our witness for the Lord? There is effort required. 2 Peter 1 and the verse 5. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So there is effort required, we see, in the first place. But then in the second place, there is this growth to be pursued. I've already mentioned there are seven graces set before us by Peter that we are to add or supply to our faith. We are to follow after these graces as we seek to progress in our walk with God as saved sinners. And let us just consider them briefly. Verse 5, 2 Peter 1. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And when we think of virtue, this virtue is moral goodness or moral excellence. And we are called to virtue, according even to the verse 3. Verse 3 of 2 Peter 1, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Remember Ruth in the Old Testament? She was known as a virtuous woman. And when we think of virtue, we think of purity, we think of modesty. Purity of thought, pure in our words, pure in our deeds. You know, when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5, he said there are some things that are not even to be named among believers. As we think of being virtuous, adding to our faith virtue. You know, in Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, Paul wrote, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There's growth to be pursued. Virtue is to be added are supplied to our faith. And then he goes on in verse 5, and to virtue, knowledge. We are to pursue our knowledge of the Lord as we study his word, as we hear it preached. And we're not just pursuing a head knowledge, but we're endeavoring to come to know the Lord himself in a deeper manner. Again, chapter 3, verse 18 of 2 Peter, we're to grow in our knowledge of the Lord. In Philippians 3 and 8, Paul spoke about his knowledge of Christ. He counted all other things as loss in comparison. Eternal life is knowing God. And then Peter speaks about adding to your knowledge temperance, self-control. Self-control with even regard to the legitimate things of life, pleasures of life. Self-control, of course, in the perspective of keeping from sin, mastering desires and passions by the grace of God. Paul is a preacher. Writing in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, he wrote of how he kept under his body, he brought it into subjection, lest when he had preached to others, he should end up as a castaway. He exercised self-discipline, self-denial, self-control. We must take care as to what we spend our time watching or reading as part of this temperance, self-control. And then in 2 Peter 1 and verse 6, to this knowledge we're to add temperance, but to this temperance we're to add patience, or patient endurance is to be supplied to your faith. We're to patiently endure in our walk with God and in our witness for him, despite the hardships which we may endure. We're to patiently wait for the return of the Savior. We're to patiently continue in well-doing. In Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus was speaking what is known as the parable of the sower, and he was explaining it to his disciples. And in Luke 8 verse 15, he spoke of the seed that fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit. And this is what he said: but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Patient endurance. It's a mark of a true believer. Romans chapter 2 and the verse 7. Paul wrote, to them who by patience, continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. Paul's not saying that we earn eternal life by patiently continuing in good works, but as believers we are to patiently continue in good works. It's part of this patient endurance. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, his second letter, 2 Thessalonians 3, and the verse 5, he wrote this: and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. We may think of James, how he wrote, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Patient endurance is to be added, to be supplied to your faith. We're to run with patience, patient endurance, the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, as we're thinking of this growth that is to be pursued, we're to give this diligence, we're to add to our faith virtue. To virtue, we're to add knowledge. To knowledge, we're to add temperance. To temperance, we're to add this patient endurance. And then to this patient endurance, we're to add or supply godliness. This is a reverence and love for God. In another place, it's translated by the word holiness. We're to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We're to follow godliness. We're to heed the truth which leads to godliness. In 2 Peter 3 and the verse 11, writing about the coming again of Christ and what's going to happen, Peter wrote, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? When Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and the verse 11, 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, he wrote, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness," godliness. There's to be a pursuit if we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Saviour. And then coming back again there to 2 Peter and the chapter 2, as we think of this growth that is to be pursued, 2 Peter chapter 1, in the verse 7, "To this godliness is to be added or supplied brotherly kindness." Kindness. Love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Brotherly kindness. In 1 Peter 1, in the verse 22, Peter wrote, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned or unpretended love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Brotherly kindness. Hebrews 13 and 1, we have the exhortation given, "Let brotherly love continue." Continue. And then we're to add or supply to this brotherly kindness charity. Yes, we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're to love unbelievers too, in a way that desires to see them one to the Savior. There is a growth to be pursued. We have a duty before God when we're saved by His grace to grow in spiritual disciplines and holy conduct. The question comes then, the challenge comes to me and to you who profess to be the Lord's. Are we growing and progressing? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives? According to 2 Peter 1 verse 8, "If these things be in us and abound, they make us that we shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." These things are to abound, and we're to give diligence. If the root of the matter is in us, there will be growth and progress. Oh, in some cases more, in some cases less, but there will be progress. Yes, the true believer at times may grow cold, but for the most part, there's to be this progress. At times, a true believer may lack assurance, but we're being reminded here in 2 Peter 1 and 10, we're to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. We can grow in assurance as we grow in grace, as we progress in our walk with God. Oh, there may be some who are deceived. They may just have an empty profession. And there's no diligence. There's no adding to the faith they profess. There's no giving diligence and supplying through their faith, virtue, knowledge, and so on. Let us take heed to these truths. There's one final thought very quickly. Not only is there the effort that is required and the growth that is to be pursued, there are the blessings to be experienced. Again, in verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Now that doesn't mean that the child of God never fails. It doesn't mean the child of God never sins. But certainly, we know one of the blessings of salvation is that the true believer can never finally fall away from Christ. True salvation can never be lost. Now that's not an excuse for carelessness. There are some people who make a profession, and that's obviously all it was, and they think they can live anyway, and they say, "Well, I can't lose my salvation." But the evidence of their life is they were never saved in the first place. And I know the true believer can lack assurance at times, seeing their failings and their shortcomings. But is not Peter setting before us the fact that we can make our calling and election sure, and we can know without assurance that we're the Lord's people, and therefore he has given to us eternal life, and we shall never perish? There's a verse in Jeremiah, and it says in the chapter 12 of Jeremiah, and the verse 40, I've obviously got the wrong verse, but it's a verse that tells us we shall never depart from the Lord, in the sense that while we may fail, we may backside at times, that the Lord will work. The Lord brings us back. And we'll never fall away from the Lord in salvation. If we are truly his people, we can have the assurance of that. You know, when he talks about making our calling and election sure, when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 4, he addressed them in this way: knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, knowing, having an assurance, we might say, of your election of God. And he went on to say why there could be this assurance. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of God, and they turned from God to idols to serve the living God. There was the evidence that they were the elect of God. They could have assurance of their salvation. The blessings experienced. What a blessing it is to be saved. A blessing to know the Lord. And a blessing to have the assurance of salvation as we seek to grow and progress. And then he also says in verse 11 of 2 Peter 1, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. An entrance ministered unto us abundantly into the kingdom. Let me ask you as we finish, do you know Christ? Are you saved? Are you on the way to glory? Are you still on the way to hell? If you're saved, are you progressing? Or will you be as one of those saved as by fire? Oh, think on these things today. And may God the Holy Spirit apply his word to our hearts for his great name's sake.